It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. Our college football preview continues. Our conferences were going throughout the country and Power 5, Group of 5, whatever they are. We're actually going to do a one that we know quite well, the Atlantic Coast Conference, the ACC, with us tonight. As usual, the usual suspects, we have my partners in crime, my brothers from a different mother, and that would be Kyle from LaGrange Barber.
What's going on, David? Good to be here to preview the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Give a shout-out to John Swapper, the commissioner. Hello, hello, sir. We're going to do that. And we have from the big city of China Grove, North Carolina, that would be Bubba Rosenbaum. Hi, Bubba.
What's up, Dave? Great to be here. Hope you guys are having a great week.
We are, and want to spend some time, a little time. We've got two great guests, right, Bubba, tonight?
We do. The first will be David Glenn, of course, from the David Glenn Show. He's covered the ACC for years, as well as the other North Carolina teams. I love his tailgate tour, where he travels around to...
The Continental Tire tour.
Okay. Yep. But he travels around to all the different programs in the state. He's made many trips, of course, to Dowdy-Ficklin, and loves the atmosphere that the Pirate fans bring to the table. And so we have him that we'll talk to. And then we also have Antoine Staley, who's actually an ECU alum. But Antoine writes for Athlon Sports, and he's the Miami Hurricanes beat writer and also covers the Miami Dolphins as well.
We'll have them in just a little bit. I want to talk a few minutes and then get to David Glenn. But before we do, lots are going on right now with the ACC, and certainly they've had a lot to cheer about the last few years. Some saying that this might be a down year except for the likes of Clemson and Miami. And I'll tell you what, guys, you have to definitely say that both teams, you have Clemson that most likely will be in the college football playoff again. And you have Miami that, if things go right, they could find themselves maybe as the ACC champion, and maybe they could be in there. Who knows? But what do you guys think overall before we go to David Glenn?
Well, Clemson obviously is the favorite. I mean, they're dominant not only in the ACC but on the national level. It's them and Alabama. Miami, you know, they were really good last year. They faltered towards the end of the year, but a lot of their success was predicated on turnovers. They led the nation in turnovers, I believe. Manny Diaz is a hell of a defensive coordinator, and his defense does typically force a lot of turnovers, but I don't know if you can rely on that on a year-in, year-out basis to force as many turnovers as they did. It'll be interesting to see if they can do what they did last year again, because a lot of their success was, again, predicated on forcing so many turnovers.
Yeah, I like their coach. Mark Recht is certainly in a better situation than Georgia. I know the Georgia fans expect a lot, but I think being back in his home, when I say his home, meaning his alma mater of Miami, he just seems to be – he looks a lot younger. Have you guys noticed that, like when he does a media day or – you see him interviewed. He looks a lot younger since he's gone back to Miami. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I don't know.
Well, maybe not as much stress on him.
Yeah. I felt like the pressure, you know, sometimes like the Sheryl Crow song, A Change Will Do You Good, and it did him a lot of good. And you know what? Georgia's done better too. So I guess everybody's happy after the fact as well. But Clemson looks like they're going to be the favorite in the Atlantic Division and Miami in the Coastal Division. And I'll tell you what, why don't we go ahead and go to David Glenn. He's part of the David Glenn Show, been covering the ACC for over 30 years, since 1987 to be exact, oh, by the way. And let's go ahead and go to that interview with David right now. Well, when I think about the ACC and I think about the Atlantic Coast Conference, I think about my next guest. I am happy to call my friend from the David Glenn Show and the ACC Sports Journal, David Glenn. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Dave. It's great to be back with you again.
Absolutely, DG. I know that you've been busy. I know you've got a lot on your plate, but I appreciate you spending time with us. I wanted to get you, now that's the first week of officially of camp, I wanted to get your thoughts on, first, let's backtrack a little bit. What were your thoughts about Media Days and Charlotte recently?
Well, it was funny. The good news for those of us who have been at this for a long time, and at this point I've been at it for more than 30 years, the starting point when you get to ACC football, whether it's the kickoff event or anything else, is a much more exciting one now than it was for a long time. Because I remember even going back before Florida State joined the ACC in the early 1990s, there was not often very much to be excited about in the ACC in football. And a lot of fans and even media members were kind of watching the calendar, waiting until men's basketball season got there, because you typically knew that Duke or Carolina or somebody else in the ACC or all of the above would be really good on the national scene in that sport. But Florida State started to change that, and now you fast forward a couple of decades, and just within the last 5 years, FSU has a national title. Dabo Sweeney helped the Clemson Tigers to a national title. And in the new format, the college football playoff, the ACC has never missed it. And with Clemson among the national favorites again this year, the Tigers are a favorite to be in that four-team bracket come the end of the upcoming season. And all of us in Charlotte at that ACC kickoff event this year, those of us who have been around longer, we're just kind of excited and refreshed at the idea that we don't have to wait until basketball season, and that in the modern-day ACC, there's a national contender or more to talk about in football, and there's a national championship contender or more to talk about in men's basketball. And that's exactly what John Swofford, the ACC commissioner, has been building toward for a long time. It probably will be Clemson again, but it's exciting just to know that this league has enough depth now that it's not guaranteed that the favorite is going to win the way it seemed to be back when Bobby Bowden and the Seminoles joined the league in the 1990s.
I remember, David, when that took place, and it was pretty much Florida State. What was the joke? It was Florida State and the Eight Dwarfs.
Yes, right.
Back in the day.
Yes, the Seminoles won 70 of their first 72 conference football games. 70 wins and 2 losses over the course of 9 seasons, where they either won the title alone every year, or I think there were 2 years out of those 9 where they shared the conference title with somebody else under the old format. You know, now there are no ties because of the ACC championship game in football. But, yeah, the Seminoles dominated the ACC in the 1990s to a degree that, you know, was beyond virtually anything else we had seen in the history of college football for any conference. And they're still one of the contenders, even under their first-year coach, Willie Taggart. They have a lot of talent, but it really does start right now in the ACC with Dabo Sweeney and the Clemson Tigers. That is now a multinational championship school. Danny Ford, way back when in the early 80s, and then Dabo much more recently than that. And he has the kind of talent and depth on that roster that's going to keep Clemson in the national headlines and probably will keep the ACC in the national headlines all year long again.
And it looks like the way he's built things, it's not like a one and done, and I mean that in a football sense, or a few years. It looks like that he's building long term, where the program at Clemson is going to get bigger and bigger and stronger every season moving forward.
It's incredible to me. I mean, in Charlotte, when I was chatting with all the various folks around Radio Row and when I was invited to appear on their programs, some of them gave me funny looks when I described Dabo Sweeney as one of the greatest coaches in ACC football history. And I understood the blank looks that I got, because when we talk about the greatest of the great, you know, in basketball, we're usually thinking about a guy like Mike Krzyzewski at Duke, who's already beyond his 70th birthday, or Roy Williams at Carolina, who's not far from his 70th birthday, or even a Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, who's well past 70. Dabo Sweeney, if you look at the history of this league, now that he has won 4 ACC titles, now that he has won a national championship, now that he has 7 straight years of finishing in the national top 25, and as you said, building for the long run, how many coaches beyond Nick Saban of Alabama or Urban Meyer of Ohio State, how many other coaches in college football join those two guys and Dabo Sweeney when you describe both signing national top 10 recruiting classes on the front end year after year after year, and then producing top 10 football programs on the back end year after year after year? 5 of the last 6 finished in the national top 10 for the Clemson Tigers, and sending a bunch of guys to the NFL along the way. Almost nobody does that consistently, but the Clemson Tigers have done that consistently. And even though Dabo's only 48, and it sounds weird to put him, you know, on that short list of greatest ACC coaches over all time because of his age, I think his accomplishments already approach that threshold. and he's not even close to being done yet. So, yeah, he has been building for the long term. He was a great recruiter himself for the Clemson Tigers before he became a head coach back in 2008. So he knows the recruiting part of it. He's built a great staff around him. And when you're keeping and retaining a high-quality staff, when you energize the recruits in the southeastern United States especially about considering the Clemson Tigers and you sign your share of those guys, that's the only blueprint that allows for that Bobby Bowden level of sustained success. And that's why Dabo Swinney is on the short list of those after Bobby Bowden as among the greatest coaches in ACC football history, regardless of where the rest of his career may take him.
And it also speaks to the drought that the ACC had, like you were talking about, not Mr. playing history for the whole interview here with you, but like you said, when you look at outside of Florida State and Clemson, the ACC doesn't have a lot to cheer about when it came to football before the modern era that we're talking about now.
You're right. I mean, if people go back to before I was born in the 1960s, there was a stretch of years where the ACC didn't even have anybody in the national top 25. There were years where the ACC champion barely had a winning record overall. I mean, this league was a laughingstock in football for a while after its birth in the early 1950s. So this is a huge and much-needed contrast from those early days because, as you know, Dave, football at most schools makes the largest amount of money and turns the biggest profit and is the biggest part of the economic engine on that campus or at that athletic department. So some schools are still basketball first, and you can do it that way to a degree, but every league had to become football if it was going to remain relevant. And fortunately, the ACC has gotten better over these last 25-plus years, and that's exactly the time frame that TV money was exploding and conference realignment was in the headlines on a regular basis. The ACC landed on its feet, and with seven straight ACC titles between them, it's still been the Clemson Tigers and the Florida State Seminoles kind of carrying the torch. But, in given years, Carolina played in an ACC title game. Duke played in an ACC title game. Georgia Tech has won the ACC title. Virginia Tech certainly has been a great addition to the league over the last decade or so. Miami played in the ACC title game just last year. And a lot of people believe the Hurricanes will be back there, at least playing for the title again this year. So that kind of depth in the sport that matters most is exactly what this league needed to survive, much less thrive. And that's why John Swofford was mostly smiling as the ACC commissioner when we saw him not too long ago.
When I was thinking about the ACC, certainly over the years, it's definitely been a basketball league. When you bring up football as far as that, I remember reading an article in the News Observer a few years back about how the folks at Duke were very worried because the Duke football was so bad. And they had, in fact, there was former Duke players that had a summit I could go in. I won't go into all the details, but basically they were worried they were going to get kicked out of the league because of the football was so bad. And then they hired David Cutcliffe, and a regular guest on your show, I know, and think the world of him as a coach and a person. And the rest is history. They've really transformed their program at Duke.
Yeah, and that's just sort of a microcosm of the bigger picture, Dave, where it's easy to forget now because things worked out okay, but there was a time where, and I think most people know, the Big Ten and the SEC make a lot more money than everybody else, and they got their networks before everybody else, and they are financially just head and shoulders above not only the ACC, but the Big 12 and the Pac-12, and they're lifetimes away from any of the other major conferences. And there was a time where the Big Ten was in that expansion and realignment mode, was knocking on the door of teams like UNC and UVA and Georgia Tech. And the Big Ten was contemplating getting that much bigger beyond, adding Rutgers and Maryland years ago. They were inquiring about other ACC schools. And around the same time, or a little bit before, the SEC was inquiring about Florida State. Of course, the Seminoles chose the ACC, but imagine if at any point Clemson and or Florida State had left the ACC, UNC and UVA and Georgia Tech had left the ACC, what would have been left? And once you started making rules for the modern-day college football playoff, would the watered-down ACC, had realignment gone a different way, would they have even had a seat at the table? I don't think they would have. I think it would have been, you know, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12. And instead of a Power 5, it would have been a Power 4. So just as your story about Duke illustrates the importance of football and how low they had gotten for a long time prior to David Cutcliffe, the ACC was in a little bit of a scary mode there for a while and only keeping all the teams they had and then gradually adding, you know, first Florida State in the early 90s, but then later Miami and Virginia Tech and Boston College and more recently even more schools, especially picking up the Hokies, the Seminoles, the Hurricanes. I mean, if those dominoes had fallen in different directions, the ACC might have ended up looking something more like, you know, the modern-day Big East, which is still famous for basketball, but because of realignment and expansion elsewhere, gave up on that big-time football thing a while ago.
As far as the – I wanted to ask you, you mentioned networks, so I wanted to throw one at you here, Curve. I wanted to ask you about the ACC network and – I know there was something mentioned by John Twyford. You're the expert, not me. That's why I reached out to you. I'm a nerd when it comes to these networks and contract negotiations and all that. And I know with East Carolina has the one coming up, the American coming up this year. But I wanted to ask you as far as ACC, how do the things stand with the network?
Well, the good news that John Swofford delivered at Charlotte a while back was mainly that the ACC network is on schedule to launch in the summer of 2019. And that has been the plan all along. For those who don't know, it is a partnership with ESPN. And whereas, say, the Pac-12 network has never really gotten far off the ground for distribution problems, they just can't convince enough cable and satellite and other partners to carry the Pac-12 network. So it's one thing to have your own channel dedicated to your own conference. It's another thing to have, you know, 100 million people who have access to it if they want it. The Big Ten with the Big Ten network has been a huge success. The SEC, in its partnership with ESPN, launching the SEC network, that's been a huge success. And it's been a huge part of why those two leagues have accelerated away from everybody else in terms of finances, that those channels are enormous revenue streams for those two leagues. So the ACC is in catch-up mode, and it kind of had to wait in line behind the SEC because they both have the ESPN/Disney folks as their partner. Well, it's finally almost the ACC's turn, and starting in August of 2019, there will be a 24-hour dedicated channel with all sorts of original content, including football games and men's basketball games, meaning, you know, regular season action. That will populate the new ACC network starting next fall. That'll be a huge revenue stream. The league has already given some glimpses about progress in terms of this cable company or that satellite company is agreeing to carry it in X million dollars of homes. We don't have all that information, but the ACC feels good about that progress generally. And meanwhile, all of these campuses in the ACC, they have been in the process of building or expanding state-of-the-art production facilities. And whereas the SEC network, for example, is largely ESPN facilities and not quite as much on-campus stuff, every ACC school is investing a lot of time, money, and other resources into having these state-of-the-art on-campus facilities that are also going to be a part of producing original content beyond the actual games themselves. You know, 24 hours a day is a lot to fill. And you don't have live games for all of that. So each university is hiring personnel and developing facilities so that when the time comes in August 2019, they're going to be a part of populating that content as well.
That's very smart. I didn't know that. Speaking of long, I'm a long-term guy. I'm a marathon kind of guy, not a sprint, even though I can't run a marathon. A whole nother podcast. As far as the ACC, so the everything we can expect next year this time, we'll have definitely a channel where we can watch ACC content.
That is correct. Yeah, it'll launch in partnership with ESPN. You know, depending on your satellite or cable provider, it remains to be seen who exactly is going to offer the ACC network, and you know, on what tier and what will you have to pay as a part of that tier. All that stuff still has to be worked out. But within the ACC footprint, they expect great distribution. In other parts of the country, it could be a little bit different, but it would also be less expensive if you wanted to pay for it there. They're still going through the early sort of growing pains pre-launch that the SEC and the Big Ten had to deal with. And remember, the Big Ten network wasn't even profitable at the very beginning. It took a little while for them to get their momentum. But they're on schedule. ESPN remains the partner that John Swofford wanted all along. That helps tremendously with distribution, because imagine the leverage that ESPN has with all of its channels. You know, they can use that leverage to get people to carry the new ACC network. And, you know, again, the Pac-12 network has struggled mightily. The Big 12 doesn't have anything like the SEC or the Big 10 have. The ACC is going to be able to start narrowing that gap with the two super heavyweight conferences because of the arrival of the ACC network, that 24-hour dedicated channel, starting in August 2019. And you'll get football, you'll get men's and women's basketball, you'll get a lot of the Olympic sports, and you'll get, you know, plenty of other beyond the game type content as well. We don't know what it's going to look like. They haven't really announced, you know, even their figurehead personnel. You know, Paul Feinbaum, for example, is one of the key figures of the SEC network. The ACC network has not really gone too far down those roads, and I've been told that they aren't even really in serious negotiations with some of the people who might make the most sense as key figures in a new ACC network. So in that sense, maybe they're behind the eight ball or behind the curve anyway. 12 months away from now, they're going to have an active 24-hour-a-day channel. So I'd expect month by month we're going to be seeing more details about distribution and on-air talent, and even how those individual schools are going to have their programming on there as well.
Has anybody reached out to you to join the network?
I have had conversations with people casually. Another guy that I know well, Wes Durham, who we call him the unofficial mayor of the ACC, is somebody that I saw recently, and I asked if he had had any official conversations with ESPN. He said no. He said everything is just sort of, you know, by the water cooler, casual conversation. Might you be interested in that? Might we be interested in you, and vice versa? So I can tell you this. If Wes Durham, whose voice is known and face is known because of his TV work all over the ACC area, I mean, we jokingly call him the unofficial mayor of the ACC, and he calls ACC basketball and ACC football on TV in addition to being the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. If ESPN has not reached out to him in an official capacity yet, and I've been told they have not, I'm not sure who they would be talking to, because I'm one of the people on that list, and my personal list would start with Wes Durham. So they have plenty of work to do to populate their on-air talent, at least if they want recognizable names along those lines.
And hopefully they do, and hopefully pick both of you guys. I think a lot of both of you. Want to get to a preview because your time is limited and I could talk to you for hours about sports and life and that. As far as the preview goes for the teams, I guess we could start off with the Atlantic. You're looking like Clemson on that side of the division, that side of the ACC conference. So what do you think they're going to win the Atlantic? I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't.
I agree with you. One of the questions we were all asking each other at the kickoff event was this. If you had to pick at the betting window, so to speak, either the Clemson Tigers or the field, meaning the, you know, the other 13 teams in the ACC in football, which would you take? And most people said the Clemson Tigers. You know, they're a team, Dave, that had all four of its defensive linemen named preseason first team All-ACC. So the entire Clemson defensive line is the All-ACC defensive line. And that's one of the harder positions to fill in college football. Three of those four guys, by the way, could have turned pro early under NFL draft rules a year ago, but chose to stay in school for one more run at a national championship. Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, a guy from Wake Forest, North Carolina, Cleveland Farrell. These guys are monsters and future pros in all four cases. So they need Kelly Bryant or his backup, a young guy named Trevor Lawrence, to sustain or maybe improve on their quarterback play. But they have plenty of running back talent. They have those monsters on the front defensively. They have a really well-compensated and quality coaching staff led by Dabo Sweeney. They are the clear favorite in the ACC. They are the clear favorite, obviously, in their division. And I think most people put Clemson as one of the top, you know, candidates to make the college football playoff again out of all the candidates in all the conferences across our nation.
In fact, there's a lot of people that are talking about I've heard this on different talk shows, television and radio, about people talking about the Clemson Alabama fatigue. And my point is, well, if you don't want to see that anymore, the teams have just got to beat them. If not, they're going to keep going in there every single year with those two great coaches.
You're right. You're right. And there's no sign that either of them is going to slow down. So if you want to catch Clemson and Alabama, you better get better. I don't have that fatigue personally. I mean, sure, a little variety is nice, but you know, Ohio State's not going away. The Big 12 and the Pac-12 have their candidates. Washington, for example, in the Pac-12 could be really, really good. You know, Georgia made it to the national championship game from the SEC last year before losing to the Crimson Tide. Miami is on the upward swing clearly under Mark Richt, and made that ACC title game last year. They looked like they might be a college football playoff team for a while. So we'll get a little variety, but if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. And right now the men are Nick Saban at Alabama and Dabo Swinney at Clemson.
As far as Florida State, I wanted to get your take because maybe I need to – I've seen him around the USF world when obviously being an East Carolina guy with Willie Taggart. What is your take on Coach? And I know that you're an ACC guy. Do you think he's going to get it done in Tallahassee?
I think he has a good chance. You know, he was an impressive guy to interview and meet. That was our first opportunity for him, obviously, since, you remember him, as I do, more as the guy who had great success at South Florida in the American Athletic Conference. He actually spent last year with the Oregon Ducks of the Pac-12 and certainly did not expect to get a job offer from Florida State back in what is his native state. He's originally from Florida, Willie Taggart. That, you know, nobody knew at the time Jimbo Fisher was going to get a $75 million guarantee offer from Texas A&M. So Willie Taggart was surprised by the job opening. Willie Taggart interviewed well for that job. He did have good success at his alma mater, Western Kentucky, as a head coach for 3 years. He built South Florida over four seasons into a 10-2 team that finished in the national top 25. He was only okay at Oregon last year, 7-5 in his first year with the Ducks, but it's an impressive resume overall, and Jimbo Fisher left some talent behind. You know, DeAndre Francois, the guy from 2 years ago, and James Blackman from last year are back as quarterbacks with significant experience. They have Cam Akers as one of the most talented running backs in the ACC. They're not as deep as they have been in the past, and clearly Florida State wasn't very good last year after they lost their quarterback. But there's always young talent. I mean, if you want to look out for a redshirt freshman wide receiver, a guy named Tamarian Terry, it feels like the Seminoles do a good job of churning out that next generation, and Jimbo Fisher did a lot of good recruiting during his time in Tallahassee. So I don't think it's as much, does Willie Taggart have enough players? It's more, can he and his coaching staff, brand new to these players, can they just connect the dots and put it all together quickly? That's easier said than done, especially when you're in the same division as Clemson, you're in the same division as NC State, which had its best year last year under Dave Doran. Boston College could be good this year, better than the Eagles have been in a while. So that's just in your division. So Willie Taggart in the long run, I wouldn't bet against him. It's just a guessing game as to whether he's going to have the Seminoles in contention right out of the gate in year one.
I was going to ask you about two teams and there in the Atlantic too. Wake Forest, I love Dave Clawson, and also Louisville with Bobby Petrino. That's the one that I'm not quite sure on, and I wanted to ask you how you feel about Petrino and obviously Clawson.
Well, Bobby Petrino has to reinvent the offensive wheel without Lamar Jackson. He got won a Heisman Trophy for the Cardinals 2 years ago, was unbelievably productive again last year. He thinks he has a guy that he can build around, but I'd be surprised if the Louisville Cardinals are, you know, contenders to make a run in that division with Clemson and Florida State and NC State and Boston College. And then you said Dave Clawson of Wake Forest?
Yes.
Yeah. He has a quarterback issue of his own because his three-year starter, really even a four-year starter, John Walford, has graduated. And the guy who was a part-time starter, who was at other times backing up Walford, Kendall Hinton, is suspended to open the season this year. So the Deacons, you know, Dave Clawson has built that team year by year, just as he did at every other coaching stop. It's better in years three and four than it was in years one and two. Theoretically, this is his deepest, most talented team, and they have a wideout named Greg Dortch, who's an unbelievable talent and a fun guy to watch. They have a lot of talent returning on defense as well. But if you're a guessing game at the quarterback position, it's hard to imagine that he's going to be a lot better than he was last year, for example. I mean, the good news is at Wake, the arrow is clearly pointed in the right direction. Dave Clawson inherited a program that had lost its way, and after a couple of 3-9 seasons, he's gone to 2 straight bowls and had 8 wins last year. I think another bowl, a third straight bowl, is a reasonable goal for the Demon Deacons, but you know, it's asking a lot for them to challenge the Clemsons and Florida States at the top of that division.
I want to ask you quickly. I looked at the time and I didn't realize we've been talking this long. The Coastal Division with, I know you like Miami, and who do you else like in that? How is Duke and Carolina and Virginia Tech looking?
I have Duke as a bowl team again with a chance to be a Cinderella. You know, Daniel Jones is a really good NFL prospect at quarterback who wasn't as good as he wanted to be last year. So he went back into David Cutcliffe's, you know, quarterback machine, same guy that's tutored Eli Manning and Peyton Manning and other NFL guys. Daniel Jones wants to be more like the guy he was 2 years ago, which was one of the better QBs in the ACC. And if that happens and they have guys like Joe Giles Harris and Ben Humphreys back at linebacker in what should be a good defense again, the Blue Devils have a chance of having maybe not their best season under David Cutcliffe. Remember, they played for the ACC title, was it 5 years ago now, when they won the division before coming up short in that title game. I think he has a chance to have one of his best teams at Duke. I'd be surprised if Carolina is a factor this year. Larry Fedora has a lot of problems on his hands. He has not been able to figure out defense since Gene Chizik, you know, left as defensive coordinator. He's lost a lot of talent, more the year before last than this past season, to the National Football League. And it's not clear that he's ready with the next generation of players to just bounce back to going to bowls every year the way they did before dropping all the way to 3-9 last year. So Duke, promising. Carolina, I think, not as promising. And if anybody's going to challenge the Miami Hurricanes in that division, I think it's more likely to be Virginia Tech. You know, they've lost a lot of talent to the NFL, on defense especially. But they have their quarterback back in Josh Jackson. They have a guy who's won 19 games in his first 2 years there, Justin Fuente, who's a fantastic young coach. They have Bud Foster, their magician defensive coordinator, back to try to, you know, fill those holes on that side of the ball. I think it's Hurricanes, Hokies, Blue Devils on that side of the bracket, and Clemson, FSU, NC State, Boston College on the other side of the bracket. But it all starts with those Clemson Tigers, and everybody's still trying to play catch-up with those guys.
Well, David, I know before we let you go, I know folks can – one of the things I've got to get out of doing and haven't done it yet is to get the ACC Sports General. You have your football magazine out, and I want to give you a chance to promote that.
Yeah, we actually have, if you're in North Carolina, we have a special North Carolina edition, or Carolina's edition, where you'll see Ryan Finley of NC State, the quarterback. You'll see Daniel Jones of Duke, another quarterback, on the cover with a Carolina, a Wake, and a Clemson player. If you're listening from beyond, you can find the national edition of our ACC Football 2018 preview with not only Notre Dame included, but Florida State, among others, on that cover. But it is, you know, 10 info-packed pages on each of the ACC football teams, plus there's a section on Notre Dame. We have predictions. We have scholarship charts. We have analysis. We have a long-form article from a guy named David Glenn that you may have heard of. A lot of recruiting information, breaking down the best quarterbacks in the ACC of the last 24 years. That's all in this year's kickoff edition, bookstores, newsstands, available everywhere, and, of course, at accsports.com if folks want to visit our website.
As well, and obviously I wanted to promote the show Monday through Friday, noon to 3, on a lot of stations in North Carolina, and, of course, they can get it on the TuneIn app, and they can also, I know that you guys do a great job with the podcast, Apple Podcasts. Anywhere there's a podcast, just search David Glenn Show, and you can keep up with ACC and a lot of North Carolina sports, right?
Yeah, we post every hour of our live show You can follow us on Twitter at David Glenn Show. You can visit davidglennshow.com for a list of all of our AM and FM affiliates. There's dozens of them across the state. We're now heard in more than 250 North Carolina cities and towns on those affiliates. So, yeah, remember, at David Glenn Show, and as you said, Dave, everywhere there are podcasts, just search David Glenn Show. But you can find the show hour by hour right there on our Twitter feed. And, again, find affiliates at davidglennshow.com.
Well, DG, thanks for the visit. I know that you went long with me. I appreciate it very much, getting ready for the season. And we'll see how things turn out maybe in the towards the end of the season, or certainly love to have you back before basketball season starts, and we'll see how things are going.
Always fun, Dave. Good to be with you, my friend. Take care.
Very good to have David. We talked to him right after his sabbatical that he does every year, and after media days, he came back and refreshed, recharged his batteries in the summertime. But good to talk to him, and he's been a friend of mine since 2011, actually. And good to have him on the program once again on the podcast. And guys, I'll tell you what, it's amazing what television money will do for you. As he was talking about, that every single one of the conference members now are upgrading their, basically they've got a television studio or studios at every single school. So they, being the individual school, whoever that is, can do their own content right then and there. I mean, I was thinking that was something that we should do at East Carolina. Maybe we could do a football building or something like that. But I really, that was one of the takeaways I had, was about the network for the ACC. And certainly they're light years ahead of things right now because of their partnership with ESPN. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have the kind of money coming in the ACC and the rest of the Power Five conferences do from these television deals, it just gives you such a huge advantage, and you can do things like what they're doing with the with having the basically studios at every school. The ACC network is going to launch here in the next couple years. So
next year, They're going to be on. They're going to be next year. They're going to be on
next year. Okay. So I mean, it's really, that's really, when you hear Power Five, Group of Five, that's really what it is predicated to, is TV money. And hopefully, you know, speaking from the East Carolina side of things, that when our TV contract gets renegotiated in the next few months, that we ain't going to catch the ACC and the other Power Fives, but hopefully we'll create some distance between ourselves and the rest of the Group of Five.
I think so. I think Mike Oresco, love to have him on the podcast. So, Mike, if you're listening, no kidding, it'd be great to see where we stand. There, our deal is next year, right?
The for the American, the contract that sits to be negotiated, it has to be negotiated by, I believe it's either February or March of 2019. Okay. After that, we are free to negotiate with other people if we are not re-signed with ESPN. But Bubba, do you want to break down some of the other teams here in the conference besides just Clemson and Miami? There are some other teams to play football in the ACC.
Right. Something I was going to add, you were talking about Miami and their ability to force turnovers last year. Of course, the craze with the turnover chain caught the nation, and that was something that was all over social media and what have you last year. But to be exact, they were plus 13 in the turnover margin. And then another number that really pops out is their defense generated 44 sacks. So
Manny Diaz is a hell of a defensive coordinator. I've liked him since he was at Middle Tennessee. He was on one of Rick Stockstill's early staffs at Middle, and worked his way up from there, up through the ranks. And he's a great coach. But some other things to look for in the ACC, I think Georgia Tech could potentially be really good. They got I think 8 or 9 starters back on offense. Anytime Paul Johnson has got that many starters back on his offense, they're going to be super dangerous. I think they could challenge Miami in their division. Over on the other side, you know, obviously Clemson's the favorite, but. You know, I kind of – people wonder who's going to be finished second to Clemson, and I've heard NC State, obviously a lot of people will keep going Florida State despite the struggles last year and having a first-year head coach. But I'm telling you, don't sleep on Boston College. I really like Steve Adagio's football team last year in the second half of the season, and they got everybody and their brother back. I think Boston College could be a real dark horse, and I don't think there's any way they can win the division because of Clemson. But you know, if they were on that other side, I would be picking them to win the other side. I think Georgia Tech and BC are two teams to really keep an eye on in the ACC this year that may be a little under the radar. Virginia Tech had a lot of off-the-field issues. They had a terrible offseason this year.
Guys, I was going to tell you, in the Atlantic Division, the Athletic, our good friends at the Athletic now, they actually had the predictions came out this week, and they had recently, they actually had North Carolina State dead last. I don't think they'll do that bad, but they had, I know, at the top they had, of course, Clemson, they had Louisville. The surprising team to me on the Atlantic side, not only with Boston College, my second surprise too, look out for Wake Forest. Dave Clawson's done an excellent job. His recruiting is going very, very well. And I think that's a team – I know that Bubba, listen to me. I know, Kyle, you think that Tulane's going to upset Wake Forest.
I do.
And that's your upset special.
But
Wake Forest, look out for Wake Forest. I think Wake Forest and Boston College, those two teams are a lot better this year.
Wake Forest lost two things very important. One, their quarterback. Two, their defensive coordinator. They lost a defensive coordinator who's a hell of a football coach. And they lost a quarterback. And I think they're going to miss those two things very, very much. And I think Wake, I know they got a lot of starters back besides that quarterback. I think Dave Paulson is a solid coach, but I think they're going to take a step back this year. I'll stick with my prediction of Tulane over Wake in week one.
I was going to say, I really like Kyle's Boston College pick, and for them to be someone to be right there, I don't think they'll beat Clemson and win the division by any means. I certainly like Clemson to win the division and win the league for a fourth year in a row. But I do think that Boston College will be right there vying for second for sure. And then on the coastal side of things, I know you guys, you've mentioned Georgia Tech, but the team that I like to challenge in the coastal is Duke. And Duke returns a very experienced and talented quarterback in Daniel Jones, and they have a defense that's tremendous. That's what had the opportunity to see them play last year against Miami, and that was a ball game they lost 31-6. But Duke's defense kept them in the game when Duke's offense couldn't do a thing. So and they returned a tremendous amount off of that defense.
Yeah, I'm interested to see that Duke team with Daniel. You were talking about Daniel Jones. He's an NFL quarterback, potential quarterback. He's got a lot of experience, and I think that they're going to take a step forward as far as certainly the offense will be better. Definitely looks like they're going to be – I think they're definitely going to be a bowl team. It depends on certainly what bowl they'll go to, but it looks like they're going to win at least 6-7 games, which is hard to believe. That here's a stat for you I saw today getting ready for the show tonight that's amazing. If you think about it, just think about Duke football, okay? You say Duke and football in the same sentence, all right? 5 out of the last 6 years, Duke has gone to a bowl game. Now think about that. Think about that. 5 out of the last 6 years, they've gone to a bowl game. It's just amazing to me. I love their coach. He potentially could have been our coach at East Carolina, which is a whole other story, whole other podcast, but that would have been interesting.
Yes, I said that is correct about Cutcliffe. And,
you know, Ole Miss regrets firing him, that's for sure.
Well, I've told this story, I believe, on the podcast before, but I'll give a brief synopsis. Maybe I didn't tell it on the podcast, David. Maybe it was
perfect. No, that was one that we'll have to charge for people, so the premium content.
You want to keep that secret?
No. I said that people haven't heard that because if you were, I guess, a premium subscriber. Right? I'm just joking. You don't have any.
I got you. Well, I'll tell the story real quick. When Skip was talking about leaving for Cincinnati or Syracuse, and those rumors were abound back in 07, I believe that was. I emailed Terry Holland and suggested that if we lose Skip, that we hire David Cutcliffe. And Terry Holland emailed me back and said, it's funny you mentioned David Cutcliffe as a candidate for our head coaching position. He had reached out to Terry when we fired John Thompson before we hired Skip, right after he got fired from Ole Miss, David Cutcliffe. He reached out to Terry Holland about our job and wanted it. But we had already promised to Skip. We just hadn't gone public with it yet. So Terry had to decline an interview with David Cutcliffe. But that's very interesting. Had we not hired Skip Holt, David Cutcliffe may have been our head coach in 05.
David Cutcliffe is a tremendous person and a tremendous coach. And I'll tell you guys, the interesting thing's going to be to me this year is if you stay right there in the triangle, the rival team being 8 miles away in UNC Chapel Hill. Larry Fedora has weathered the storm. There's been a lot of stuff, but the latest scandal with the shoes and all that stuff. And I'm just surprised. I guess I'm surprised of that he's lasted as long as he has, but not meaning he's not a bad coach, but
he's a good coach.
Things have just not worked out well for him at UNC. And I tell you what, I think after the whole Butch Davis thing that, you know, everybody knows about, whatever coach, whatever fill in the blank, whoever that is, was going to have a really tough time. And who knows, it may turn out for him that it's the bowl season at least. But, I mean, the Athletic has them dead last. 0-8 is what they predicted in the conference, and 2-10. I just don't see that it's going to be that bad. I'm not a Tar Heel guy, obviously, but I don't see that it's going to be that bad at 2-10 for the Tar Heels. Maybe I'm wrong. But do you guys think Larry Fedora is fired at the end of the year? What do you think is going to happen with him?
Well, I think if he doesn't get up to a bowl this year after winning 3 games last year, I think that would prove, as long as he's been there, that the program is heading downward. It's a downward trajectory. I would think if he didn't go to a bowl this year that he would be fired. But they could go to a bowl. I don't know. I don't know. It's that division is a mess, really. I mean, you got Miami, Virginia Tech, and Georgia Tech at the top. But, you know, I think any of those three could win it. After that, I mean, and as Bubba pointed out, Duke's in the mix. You look, Virginia and North Carolina and Pitt are kind of the bottom of that division. So one of those three has got to finish last. It could be North Carolina.
You don't know which Virginia you're going to get. They start out, you think that they started hot, and then they went from hot to not, you know.
They got to break in a new quarterback.
Yeah, and they got to replace Kurt, and that's what I was just about to say. I mean,
yeah.
I would think that Virginia is going to be right there. I agree with you. I think it's going to be Pitt, North Carolina, and Virginia. I think you flip-flop. I don't see North Carolina finishing the bottom, and I think they'll be closer to the bottom, but I don't see them being dead last. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't have I don't feel like they will.
And something else interesting about North Carolina, that's what, of course, this prediction was made prior to all that news coming out regarding the suspensions with the selling of the team-issued shoes.
Yeah,
but
big on them, isn't he?
Yeah, but he has them picked second in the Coastal behind Miami. So,
oh my god,
he has them tied for second with Duke. So, yes,
that's interesting. Well, Phil is big on them for whatever reason, and they did have a ton of injuries last year. They had an asinine, I mean, like a record-setting amount of injuries.
It was like 20 or 22 or something.
Yes, and off the two deep . And they played good football, if I remember right, at the end of the year.
They did. They went up to Pittsburgh and won. And, of course, Pittsburgh beat Miami. And the only main game that I think that they were not competitive in was when they went to Blacksburg and got beat like 59-7 or something. But other than that, North Carolina, for the most part, even though they went 3-9, was fairly competitive.
You do have to wonder, though, coming off of a bad season, A lot of players suspended. One of their two starting quarterbacks from last year is one of those players that are going to be suspended. Do we know, Bubba, who was going to win that starting job? Was he the favorite to win that starting job, or was the other kid?
Phil still projected Chaz Surratt that you're referring to. Of course, he was extremely highly regarded from Lincoln County. North Carolina native, and
so they'll be without him for a few.
But
years.
They will be without him. But I'll say personally, I mean, Surratt had his moments last year as a freshman, true freshman that is, and then the Nathan Elliott kid that was forced into duty. That's what I really liked him, and he didn't have the raw talent maybe that Chaz Surratt does, but you could tell that he was just a player. He was gritty. You could tell the team rallied around him. He was tough as nails. He would stand in the pocket and take shot after shot and just get up and had the offense playing pretty well, like you said, at the end of the season, and pulled that upset off at Pittsburgh.
I tell you what, the guy that'll stand in the pocket like you're talking about and take shot after shot, when your other quarterback is suspended, that's a dangerous thing. Because they would be one injury away from absolute disaster.
Yes. And we'll see East Carolina, we'll see UNC the second game of the year, September the 8th.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see how that game is going to play out. But I tell you what, guys, let's go to our second guest, Antoine Staley. I really liked him. He, very charming guy, very smart. Oh, my God, he's smart. And hey, he might be taking a trip to the, you never know, national championship, or definitely the Final Four, the semis. We'll see how that works out. Antoine Staley, right, Bubba, with Athlon Sports?
Right. He's the beat writer for the Miami Hurricanes, as you said. So that's what they have, an opener that is certainly on the national radar, opening with the LSU Tigers out in Arlington at Jerry's World. So that's one that's actually going to be on Sunday night rather than Saturday.
Right.
And so that game will be the lone show in town, or lone show across the country, I should say. And, of course, that's a huge game for Ed Orgeron and LSU as well, because they started to play better and come on toward the end of the season after that loss to Troy. But at the same time, we know how things went down with Les Miles, so the leash probably isn't very long.
You know, I know this is the ACC preview, but two things about LSU real fast. If you take away that loss to Troy, they had a 10-win season. And everybody, I think, would have been just fine with the job Ed Orgeron did in his first year. The second thing is he hired Matt Canada and then decided he didn't like his offense. He didn't give him time to develop it. That was a ridiculous move to me, to bring Matt in and then not give him any time. But anyway, yeah, back to the ACC.
All right, let's go to Antoine Staley now. And we had a chance to sit down with him recently, a few weeks ago. Let's go to him right now. Here on the Sports Objective Podcast and our college football preview. And right now from Athlon Sports, he covers Miami, the Miami Dolphins. And I know he also may be Miami Vice down in the Miami area, is Antoine Staley. Antoine, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Hey, no problem. Good to be with you.
I'm very excited. When I hear your voice, that means that we're getting closer to the college football season. Very excited about, I know, your particular case. You're on with us to help us out with the ACC. You cover the U. I know that's got to be really cool. And how are things looking, first of all, for your team, the Miami? I know for the media days that the Coach Board.
Yeah, I think it's a good time for the University of Miami right now. Of course, they have some downtowns, but I feel like the program is definitely coming on the upswing. You know, last year they started the season 10-0 before having that three-game losing streak to end the year. But there's still a lot of optimism with the Hurricanes. They are going to start Malik Rozier at quarterback, but they also have some young prospects. They're also looking at that position. And it's talent. It's definitely one of the most talented rosters, I think, in the country. Whether they win the ACC or not, I don't think so. I think Clemson's the best team in the country. And that's even with Alabama being talking about Alabama. But I think Miami at least could get to back to the ACC championship, make it competitive, and maybe get into one of those New Year's Day bowls as well.
I tell you what, I have to say that I'm a huge fan of the coach of Miami, your coach, Mark Richt. I met him in Greensboro, the North Carolina High School Association, Coaches Association, probably about 10 years ago or more. And what a great guy. And I know that he's back at his alma mater. I know the Georgia fans may be happy with Kirby Smart, but I think they had one heck of a coach. But that's okay because now the U has him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it worked out. It is one of those things where rare cases where it worked out for both teams.
Right.
Sometimes you can be at a place too long, and your voice and I mean, I know different players are coming out in and out, but at the same time, I just think that I think Georgia fans just really took him for granted and kind of forgot where they were before he got there. I mean, Georgia was kind of a middle of the road SEC team, and at least Rick got them competitive. He didn't necessarily win the national championship. They didn't win the national championship when he was there, but he had them competing for SEC championships. And you had Kirby Smart just kind of take it over and take it to another level on the last 2 years.
That's right. As far as the ACC is concerned, I know you said Clemson. I have to say, I'm going to ask you this first, also I won't forget. Who is the surprise team of the league? For me, I'm going to put it out there. I want to get your opinion on this. Like maybe when I say surprise, my most improved, I really like Boston College. What do you think about them? I'm not saying they're going to win anything, but as far as their division or the ACC championship, but I think they're going to be the surprise team this year.
You stole my thunder.
I said that
on Twitter a few days ago. And during the media day, I think they're the sleeper team of the conference. They have a great defense, as everybody knows, but they also have to play the ACC preseason player of the year, and A.J. Dillon, who I think is one of the best players in the country. And I think he's going to have a fantastic season for them. I don't think they're going to be better than Clemson or probably not Florida State either, simply because they don't have the depth of talent that they do. But, I mean, I think in the best-case scenario, they could be third place in the ACC Atlantic. NC State, they have questions. I do like Ryan Finley, but they lost a lot of players defensively, most notably Bradley Chubb out there on the defensive line. So they also have some questions to address. Louisville, they have big-time personnel issues, even though they do have a talented wide receiver core and experienced offensive line coming back in. I do like Wake Forest as well. I think Wake Forest is one of those teams where nobody really talks about, but yet they ended up winning 8 games, surprising everybody. And I think Dave Clawson did a great job last year. So, yeah, if I'm looking for a team that under the radar that nobody's really talking about, I definitely would take Boston College.
When you're talking about Wake Forest, wow, what a turnaround there with Dave Clawson in just a short period of time. He's got them not only competitive now, winning, and they have a shot down the line maybe to compete for at least the division championship or at least in the mix, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough school to recruit because Wake Forest is good school academically. You're not going to get some of the close prospects and recruits that other schools get. But even though the ACC does have a lot of talented schools academically, but Wake Forest is kind of limited in that area. But I figure Jim Grove really started it, and he did such a really fantastic job there that they gave a guy like Clawson the opportunity to come there and believe that he can win. I don't think Wake Forest could ever win consistently in the ACC, even though they did win the ACC championship back in 2006. But, yeah, I mean, there's no reason why they can't win 8 or 9 games a year, especially in a talent-rich state of North Carolina. And I tell people all the time that the problem is it's not that you don't have recruits in the state of North Carolina, high school recruits in the state of North Carolina. It's that other teams and universities are picking from the state of North Carolina, like Clemson, like some of the SEC school teams. If you're a team like a North Carolina, NC State, or Wake Forest, or even Duke, you have to keep those kids in state because they usually go away to other colleges or Virginia Tech, for that matter.
Yeah, with North Carolina, that's where we're based out of. It seems like that's the problem. It's not that there's not talent in North Carolina. It's keeping a fence around the state because so many great players. For example, Todd Gurley, Tarboro, North Carolina, very close to my alma mater, East Carolina. He's 30 minutes from East Carolina, but he had to make the best decision for himself. and he goes on at the University of Georgia and with Mark Richt, and a lot of those guys are, instead of staying home, they're actually going away. But in fairness to them, you got to have programs to give them a reason to stay, right?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, and that's the problem. Some of the schools in North Carolina had won it consistently. You had the Tar Heels winning for a couple of years under Fedora, and now they've kind of a little bit in transition. They'll try to get back on track. NC State had a really good year last year. We'll see if they're doing can keep that up there. Obviously, they have a good quarterback situation in Finley. Clawson, I talked about there at Wake Forest, and David Cutcliffe at Duke, they're always consistent for the most part. That's the one thing about Duke, even though they are limited, but like Wake Forest, at least you know they're probably going to get into a bowl game, maybe 6-7, possibly 8 wins. But, yeah, I think if somebody can consistently win at a high level in the state of North Carolina, then I think more often than not, kids will be able to stay. But I figure a university like Clemson, they've really wrapped up on getting kids from the state of North Carolina to come down there and play, and it's really helped their program.
And they're not an easy, let me just say, they're not an easy school to get in as well.
No, not at all.
I wanted to ask you about Fedora. I hear mixed reviews, and what I mean by that is I'm asking some folks, and they're saying, I'm just talking about fans, just people across the board, asking them. Some people say his job is safe. Some people said if he had another losing season, it's not safe. Do you think he has a chance to lose his job if he has a losing season this year?
I think it's possible. That program is definitely taking a step back. You remember a few years ago, end up playing Clemson in the ACC championship, and you thought that North Carolina would be consistently, maybe not win ACC championship, but consistently be a 9 or 10 win team, and that just hasn't been the case. They had some talent there. They lost a lot of quarterbacks there. Of course, Mitch Trubisky ended up leaving school early, and they took a hit there, and they had a lot of young players last year. So we'll see. They're definitely going to have to make a bowl game, I think, in order for him to keep his job. If not, and of course, he's already facing the heat from the CTE press conference that he had last week. So that definitely doesn't help. So they're definitely going to have a winning season, I believe, for him to keep his job, or at least get to a bowl game in 6 wins. If not, then I definitely can see that, especially considering how weak the ACC Coastal is compared to the Atlantic.
Speaking of the Atlantic, one of the teams, before I forget, I wanted to ask you about, my curiosity is up with Willie Taggart and Florida State. I know there's a lot of talent there. Willie Taggart's been a good coach, and definitely from knowing the state of Florida very well. How do you think that Florida State's going to do this year?
They're sneaky. They're one of those teams where you just don't necessarily know about. They're good enough.
Right.
If Clemson wasn't in the Atlantic, I would say they'd be good enough to get to possibly at least win the division. But Clemson's such a big power, that's going to be tough. What does both benefit them, they do get Clemson in Tallahassee. That rivalry is always kind of strange. But, I think Florida State, they definitely have enough talent there with Taggart. I know last year was just kind of terrible. Yeah, and you remember they were playing Alabama neck and neck until Francois got hurt. So they definitely have a lot of talent there on that roster still. Cam Akers, one of the better running backs in the country, next to Dylan, who I already talked about earlier. It wouldn't surprise me if Florida State won the 10 or 11 games this upcoming year. I think they're that good and that talented. If you're looking, to me, they're the second-best team in the ACC this year. I just think Clemson is just with the depth they have, and especially on that defensive line, they're just head and shoulders better.
I wanted to ask you about the – certainly some of the teams in the Northeast, like what do you think about Pitt and Syracuse? What do you think about their chances this year?
I like Pitt. They really have a really good defense, really strong on the front line. They can run the ball. They're like a tradition. They're an ACC school, but they kind of remind me of a Big Ten type of school with offensive linemen and good defense, and they like to run the football. So I think Pitt, they had a losing record last year, but I expect them to make a bowl appearance this upcoming year. As far as Syracuse, Dino Babbles, the offense has been fine. The offense is great there. You remember the game against Clemson. Offensively, everything just kind of went right for them. And defensively, actually, for that game, it's just always been their defense has been a question. If they can get their defense shored up, I don't see why they can't make a bowl game. Especially, it's going to be tough in the Atlantic, but I think Louisville is going to take a step back, especially considering they have a murderous road schedule where they have to play, not only have to play Clemson, and they also have to start out the season with against Alabama, and you play Florida State too. So I think it's going to be very tough for Louisville, despite how good Mike Pacino is. But it wouldn't surprise me if Syracuse was going to squeak out 6 wins this year.
You're speaking of, you got me back. It's still, I was going to ask you about Louisville, so you got me there. So overall, you think that it's going to be in the Atlantic Division. You like Clemson, the Coastal Division. You like Miami. So you think Clemson is going to be the ACC champion again? Repeat?
Yeah, I think it would be very hard. Let some injuries start to occur and the depth starters weaken a little bit. I think it's going to be hard to beat Clemson in the ACC championship. I just think they're really that good. And now they have depth everywhere, even at the quarterback position. Kelly Bryant ended up taking them to the playoffs, and there's talk that he might not even be their starting quarterback. That's how talent-rich they are. So I think, unless injuries come about, I think it's going to be really, really tough to beat Clemson.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be an exciting football season. I know that I want to give you a chance to promote, too, Athlon. I know the magazines are out, but how can people pick up a copy of that great magazine?
Well, you can go to Athlon Sports, and if you don't want to go to the store and buy it, you can definitely order it. And the benefit of going to Athlon Sports is you get to choose whatever cover that you are. So, for instance, if you're living out west in USC country, but you love ACC football, you can choose the ACC cover. Or vice versa, you live in an ACC country and you want to read about the Pac-12 or the Big 12 or the SEC, you can pick that kind of cover up as well. So you can go there and check that out. Also online at athlonsports.com. And now we're starting our series where we have a panel of writers, including myself. We're picking regular season schedule game by game. So we're picking their final record and whether they're going to finish 9-3, 10-2, or 0-1 possibly. So we're doing that for a number of different teams. Started yesterday, and we're doing Louisville tomorrow, and then University of Miami, I believe, on Friday as well. So that's something to look out for as well.
Well, I tell you what, it's been exciting, and I can't wait to talk to you. Maybe we can talk to you throughout the season. Love to have you back. You've been a lot of fun. Antoine Staley from Athlon, it covers the U. I know you're covering the Miami Dolphins and so much, and we'll get you back sometime soon. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it very much. You did a great job. I enjoy talking ACC. Even though I'm an ECU guy, everybody, people on the message boards will give you, like, a hard time. They're, like, anti-ACC, I think, but I grew up in Durham, so I know the ACC very well.
So do I. I mean, that's kind of what I grew up around with. You know, I love ECU and everything, but hell, you gotta be able to watch some type of good football. I mean, they're not putting a good product on the field.
No,
so,
we're gonna change it. I promise you. You can write it down. If Scotty doesn't get it done this year, we'll get a coach in here that can get it done. I can promise you.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. I really hope they get it done. He's such a nice guy. I've met him a couple of times. But, I really hope they get it done. But, yeah, he don't have any choice there. They have to make a bowl game or he's out of there.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what happens. But that big game on September 8th against UNC, that'll be – and I'll tell you another thing, too. I'll leave you with this. If they don't play well, if they lose to A&T, he may lose his job. It's that serious. So.
I want to look towards the North Carolina game, but they ended up losing to James Madison last year, so I'm just I just hope they beat A&T. Exactly. I expect them to do so, but you just never know.
We don't know
just
until
wanna,
they're on the field.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to look past A&T because, that would do him in, them losing that game.
Yeah, the fans, oh my God, the fifth quarter of after the show they have on Pirate Radio afterwards.
Oh, yeah, I know. I talked to Cliff and all those guys too as well. So, they would rip him to shreds.
Even on a good day, there'll be some fans that don't like the uniforms or something. They'll find something to complain about. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Guys, it looks like Miami, again, appreciate you very much, Antoine. Sending out the love to you. Clemson, Miami. Looks like we're going to go, guys, all three across the board. We're going with Clemson, right?
Yeah, I'm going Clemson. On the other side, you know, it's tough to call it. I think I'm going to pick Georgia Tech. I think I'm going to go Clemson, Georgia Tech for the ACC championship.
Well, I'll tell you what, whenever it looks like Paul Johnson, there's some people talk grumblings. I don't think it's as bad as what somebody, he's another one that you always have to watch out about. Just when you think his goose is cooked and he's out of Atlanta and Georgia Tech, it's happened a couple times. Looks like that might be the case. It might break it out and have a great year and not have to worry about at least they survive in advance like a tournament, right?
Yeah, I like him to win their side of the ACC. I'm going Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
Clemson.
What's funny is the Coastal, everybody was talking about that. But, guys, you look at the you look at the Atlantic side and you've got Clemson, you've got Florida State. We'll see how Willie Taggart, that's a card right there. We don't know, that hasn't been played yet. We'll see how they do. Louisville, Bobby Petrino, we'll see how they do. Wake Forest, Boston College. I mean, there's a number of teams on the Atlantic side that I'm not saying they're going to compete against Clemson, but they definitely have a good shot at potentially going to a bowl game. And and I think it's going to be obviously the usual now who's going to fight for second. It used to be Florida State, but now Clemson's really emerged. And that's a question mark I'm going to ask you guys right now. How do you feel about Willie Taggart? He's definitely a Florida guy, so he's good at recruiting. Do you think – this is my thing. I think he'll do a good job at Florida State. My question is, will he live up to the Bobby Bowden, Jimbo Fisher, that expectation? So I don't think that they're going to be god-awful or anything like that at Florida State, but do you think he'll be able to live up to the standard that Bobby Bowden set years ago?
Well, he's a great recruiter.
Yeah.
He's a solid offensive coach. I don't know. My gut tells me he'll do well, but will he live up to the level they want to be, which is competing?
Right. You see what I'm saying?
Each and every year for the Final Four. I don't know. I think he's the kind of coach. I think Willie Taggart, I think he'll have his moments where he gets Florida State maybe to get to that point. I just don't know that he'll be able to do it consistently.
Right.
Like we'll see. What do you think, Bubba?
I was going to say, I think now will he have the type of success Bobby Bowden did? I don't think so, because just the success that he had, a lot of that, I mean, and he obviously had a lot of the success as an independent prior to joining the ACC, and then after the membership to the ACC was extended and they accepted, and I mean, just their success in the ACC was just
ridiculous,
just totally ridiculous. I mean, winning all those games, however many it was in a row prior to losing that game, I guess up at UVA. When they got stopped about a yard shy at UVA, but no, I think Willie Taggart will be successful. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets them to the playoff in the next few years. I mean, I definitely don't think it's going to happen this year.
No.
He does have
let me tell you something. As long as Dabo Swinney, is the coach at Clemson, I mean anything is possible, but I'm a really big Dabo fan. I just don't see it. I mean, no offense to, and here's the thing, it's all about timing. I think that Willie Taggart, maybe years ago when you didn't have the competition, but look at, man, even like we're talking about, Boston College is better, guys. Boston College is better. Wake Forest is better. You look on that side, and you know, Louisville, you can't count them out. I tell you what, that's the Atlantic side is, to me, whenever you're talking about a mess, but I think there's more parity from 2 to 5, especially on that Atlantic side, than it's been in a while. And you look at, I mean, it's pretty much Clemson and everybody else. And I think I really believe that Miami is, I do believe they're the real deal. I love Mark Richt. I think that it comes down to Clemson and Miami, unless there's, you know, you got to play the games, and there might be some upsets we don't know that will mess that up. But right now, until we're going by paper and experience and the past and that kind of stuff, until we're in the season, then I definitely have to go with Clemson and Miami. And, you know, I'm interested to see if we'll see another Alabama-Clemson game again this year. We'll talk about that in a future show.
Bobby, who do you like in the ACC? What's your pick?
Well, no doubt I like Clemson to win the Atlantic and win the conference. But I think Miami is definitely the favorite in the Coastal. But if they do get upset, I think Duke will be the team to do it. I really do. I just have a feeling with the defense they return, and then what I already mentioned with Daniel Jones behind center. I think that Duke could potentially pull it off, but they of course do have to go to Miami this year because last year they got them in Durham.
I think that with one thing that's interesting with David Cutcliffe is the offensive is he's got a tremendous, I mean that's an understatement, offensive mind, and he knows so much about football. But you're right with they had some pieces, you know, but it seems like this is probably, you got to argue, this is one of the best defense Duke has had in a while. And I think it's because the culture at Duke has changed dramatically. I mean, Kyle, can you imagine? I want to tell you this, guys. I read an article, the News Observer. Of course, this is why it's hard for all of us to wrap around that know the program very well, and then you're in the ACC country and all that. And guys, they had four, think about that, four winless seasons in the early 2000s before David Cutcliffe takes over the team. I don't even think that – I think Bad News Bears would be generous when you think about four offers. And then the Duke former Duke players, they have a summit. They have a meeting to figure out what they can do to make Duke football better. They built the Yo Center. They hired David Cutcliffe. You have Dr. Kevin White, that's the athletic director. That they basically, guys, what happened is they were petrified. They were afraid that with the changes that Swofford had made at the conference, that they were going to be kicked out of the ACC because their football was just so bad. And look at where, I'm just saying, look at the story of, it's almost like a movie script where they started from, I mean, embarrassing to now where they're competitive and actually are going to bowls regularly, like almost every year. I mean, it's mind blowing if you think about it.
Yeah, having a great head coach and adjusting admission standards to help football will do that.
Well, yeah, I mean but you look at those guys. I mean, the facilities they're building and all the stuff they're doing. I mean, basically, if David Cutcliffe says jump, everybody there at Duke is saying how high. And
you want me to tell you how much influence David Cutcliffe has?
How much?
He decides who the head coach is going to be at East Carolina.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Touche. Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, guys, I tell you, you got any final thoughts here? We've been talking great stuff about the Atlantic Coast Conference, and hopefully not on Hoist or anywhere that they're going to say they were homers for the ACC. But, you know, if they do, they do. But we actually have fun. I tell you, I was thinking about getting ready for the show earlier today, getting ready, period, listening to SiriusXM and listen to the college football. I'm just so excited with the season almost being here, and it's a pleasure doing these college football previews, not only learning more, but obviously knowing that we're that close to the football season.
There is, depending on when we launch this particular episode, there are games this Saturday as we record. We are coming into the weekend of the 25th. So there are week zero games this Saturday. And and they'll come up next Thursday, and it may be, again, depending on when we launch this Thursday, there's actually an ACC game with the before-mentioned Wake Forest Tulane game. A little ACC versus American. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch on Thursday, August 30th?
Yes, that's correct. Thursday, August 30th.
Yes, it'll be fun. ACC and the American kick it off.
It's going to be fun. I tell you what's fun is, again, doing this. And thank you very much, Bubba. I appreciate you scheduling all the great guests. And I want to thank DG. David is tremendous. I've known him for, like I said, a long time, most of this decade. And he doesn't have to come on this podcast, but he actually has been a supporter of me. And now you guys, by coming on this podcast, and he took a lot of time with me. In fact, he kept talking. So when you have a he was fired up like me talking about the ACC. So anytime you have a great guest like David Glenn, and then having our new friend Antoine Staley, want to give him more love too, because he was great, and I love Athlon. So make sure you check out, by the way, get the ACC Sports Journal. You can get that wherever you have, you can order it. They have premium content certainly on the website, and then you can obviously, Athlon, you can get that online or get that wherever your favorite magazines are sold. So anyway, guys, let's wrap this up. Appreciate y'all being on. And for Kyle from LaGrange Barber and Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.